Good to see everybody here today on this holiday weekend. We've got a lot of people traveling, as Gary said earlier. And of course, we want to remember all of our family that's on the road today and this weekend. But it's good to be here. It's a beautiful morning outside, and it's going to be another hot day. And I'm glad for that, but fall's around the corner for those of you who like the cooler weather. The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Those are the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10. That we may have life and have it to the full. You know, one of the things that keeps us from being able to live that full or that abundant life that Jesus came to give us is that sometimes we hold on to our past. Sometimes we're quick to bring up maybe things that have happened to us in the past, things that maybe family members or loved ones have done to us. Maybe we keep on living in the past or reminding other people about their past. You know, the Word of God talks a lot about letting go of our past. God doesn't want our lives to be cluttered up with the junk of our past. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes this junk might be success that we've had. Sometimes this junk might be failures that we've had or things that taunt us in that regard. Remember this morning, yesterday is history. You can't change it. Today is the present, and God wants you to enjoy it. And tomorrow is a mystery. Your God wants you to look forward to that with great expectations. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I love the past. I love to study history. I love to read books about history and things that have happened and people that have shaped history. I don't really like antiques or old stuff, but I do like the past and I like history. And sometimes our past has good memories, right? We recall fond memories and pleasant memories, and those things are good. But when our past comes to mind and things are tough and memories are hard and they're painful, then when we dwell there, when we live there, it robs us of our future. And it robs us of this full life, this abundant life that Jesus came to give you. You know, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about our past and our future. And we have a brother who's going to come and share with us next week about his faith in God and how that faith will hopefully help us grow our faith and realize we have a future with God. I know it certainly impacted this brother and his family, and I'm very much looking forward to him sharing that with us. A young girl had a very difficult relationship with her family. Her parents were verbally abusive to her, and they were always ready to tell her how she just didn't quite measure up to their expectations. And so eventually, she stopped trying. As she grew up, her life was full of would-haves and should-haves and could-haves. And even as a young teenager, her life turned to a life full of regrets. She ended up a young adult, stuck in her past. The past can be painful. The past can hurt. Remembering our past can bring up painful memories. And it can involve recalling ways we've failed or ways we've blown it. Has anybody in here ever blown it, or is it just me? We've blown it, right? It's something we all share. Thanks to Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian this morning, your past is forgiven. But Satan works on us, and Satan lies to us, and he puts doubt in our minds as to whether or not we've really been forgiven. And he certainly assists us in recalling our past, which can paralyze us. We all have stories, but our stories aren't alive. We are. We all have a past, but our past is not alive. We are. The question we have to ask ourselves, how much life are we willing to give our past? You know, recalling the past can be painful because it makes us deeply miss loved ones that have gone on before. Maybe we recall positive relationships or situations that are long gone. But when we dwell on how good our past is and we always live there, then it paralyzes our present and our future. One thing we all have in common, we all struggle with these issues. We all have a past. We all have stories. We're going to look at the Old Testament this morning, and we're going to look at some tools that God gives us to help us get unstuck from the past. Because sometimes we feel stuck, and maybe you're there this morning. But first of all, I want to acknowledge, as I try to do every week, I don't have all the answers. I'm not standing before you as someone who has this all figured out. I struggle too. We all do. But when we look at God's Word, when we look at the promises He gives us and the examples that He gives us in Scripture of how people dealt with these problems and these situations, then we learn the ways God wants us to react and the ways He wants us to respond. And at the end of the day, remember this: your God wants you for eternity. Period. That's His desire. That's His hope. That's why He made you. That's why He sent His Son to die for you. So are you stuck in your past? Dr. Sills writes, "Is there anything you can't get over? Yes and no. You don't get over it, but you might find a different place to put it. You don't forget it, but the thought no longer protrudes. You don't pretend it isn't bad, but you have a sense that you can heal. You don't get over the past. You get past the past." And some people might think, well, but my past is worse than anyone else's. You don't know the things I've been through. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know where I've been. I want to say this as gently and as lovingly as I can, and I'm saying it to myself as well. You are not unique. We all have a past. We all have a struggle, and maybe you're here this morning, you think your past is worse than anyone else's. No matter how bad you believe it to be, we all still have a choice. We can choose to be stuck in the past, or we can choose to get past the past. David, he is on top of the world in the Old Testament until we see his world start crumbling. It starts crashing down around him. His sins come to light, and then his newborn son becomes gravely ill. We're going to read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, he put on lotions and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request they served him food and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? When the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat." He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, and I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon, and the Lord loved him. David had just lost his child. Now, I'm not a parent, but I can't imagine anything more painful than losing a child. If you ever had a reason to lose hope and throw in the towel and give up, this would be it. But even in the depths of the worst sorrow any man can face, God shows us hope. He shows us his goodness. David responded in a way that those around him could have never anticipated. And in this lesson from David, we learn God gives us tools to get past our past. And the first tool is acceptance. David was clearly upset about his son. For 7 days he begged and he bargained and he pleaded with God that this kid would be healed, but the baby died just as predicted. And the servants, they didn't know how he was going to respond, and they were worried about how they'd tell him. But how does he get past the death of his child? You don't flip a switch and just automatically accept this. This is a journey. This is a path. This is a road. But we see acceptance as one of the tools David uses. Now that the baby is dead, he says, "Why should I fast? Can I bring him back?" He does something courageous here that many times we struggle to do. He accepts what has happened. Y'all familiar with the Serenity Prayer? You see that posted all over the place. The Serenity Prayer: "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Why do we say this prayer? Because it's so hard. It's hard to accept the things we cannot change. Any control freaks in here? I'm one of those at times. And it's hard to accept things that we know we can't control. We try to say things like, "Well, maybe if I just work a little harder, then I can have some influence. Maybe if I just make a little bit more money, then my relationship with my spouse will be better. Or maybe if I just give my kids everything I have, then I'll have that relationship that I want with them." Rather than trying to move forward and accept the things we have no power to change, we try with all of our might to fix it. And we dwell there. And we depend on our own efforts. And that robs us of today. And it robs us of our future. Often we refuse to accept things that happen. A widower decided that he was ready to start dating again after his wife Marilyn passed away. She had been dead for several years. And so he starts dating this woman, and things are going along pretty well, and they're getting along pretty well. But the man's house looks exactly the way it did the day Marilyn died. Her clothes were still in his closet, spilling out all over the place. Her medical bills were still on his kitchen table. And the house was a complete disaster. And the girlfriend said, after some time, "Why don't you let me help you organize your house?" And she was really hoping that if things kept progressing and they eventually got married, that maybe there'd be room for her there one day. So the man agreed. And the two of them worked about organizing his house. When the organization was over, a large picture of Marilyn that was in the study fell off the wall onto the ground and busted into a million pieces. And the man ran over and he looked at the picture and he said, "Look what you did," to his girlfriend. The girlfriend later told her friends, "Marilyn stayed put, I left." You see, the man was not yet ready to accept what had happened, even though it had been several years. It takes time to come to acceptance. It takes prayer and meditation and the support of our church family. When we're ready to get past the past, acceptance is one of those tools. The second tool we learn from David is the tool of living in the present. 2 Samuel 12, verse 20, "Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, he put on lotions and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food and he ate." David anchors himself in the present. He got up, he washed himself, he put on lotion, he put on new clothes, and he ate. Later down in chapter 12, we read that he was intimate with his wife. He was living in the present. If you're struggling with being stuck in your past today, have something to do today. Make a list. Have things to accomplish. Live today. We don't heal the past by dwelling there. We heal the past by fully living in the present. If you're wanting to get past the past, do something today. Follow David's example. David comforted his wife. Comfort someone else. serve someone else. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. And we need to remember that. Every day we wake up, no matter what our past has been, today is a gift. To get to this point, though, we might have to crawl. We might even scratch and claw our way to move on from our past. But what's important is that every day we move just a little bit more than we did yesterday. Because it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But to get past the past, we have to have a goal to be anchored in the present, like David. And the third tool we see David use here is the tool of faith. The faith that looks toward the future. Do you guys look toward your future? You ever dream about what your future is going to look like? Those of you who've retired, as you were right there on the cusp of retirement, weren't you looking forward to it? Weren't you ready for that? Amen. A faith that looks toward the future. 2 Samuel 12, verse 23. David says, "But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." David says, "I'm responding the way I'm responding because I'm going to go to him, but he's not going to come back here to me." David's saying, "I know one day I'm going to end up in the grave too." But through the eyes of faith, David believes one day he's going to be reunited with this baby. He's living by faith, not by sight. And by doing that, he's moving past his past and allowing himself not to be stuck in it. As believers in Jesus, this is our hope, church. We have the privilege of living by faith, not by sight. When the hard knocks come, when life is painful, when we dwell on the things of the past, we have the privilege of dwelling on the future and the hope we have of an eternal life with God. God restores. Do you believe that today? David did. And his faith in looking toward the future helped him move on from his past. And the fourth tool we see this morning is the tool of worshiping God. After he cleaned up, but before he went to his own house, David goes to God's house to worship. Some people choose to worship their past. You've been around people like that? All they talk about are things that have happened years ago, and they dwell there. David chose to worship God. A seminary student was listening to his class and his professor talk about this exact scripture we're talking about this morning. They were discussing it, and they were debating it, and finally this student got up the courage to tell his professor and his fellow classmates that this was all very much real to him. Because several years earlier, he and his wife had lost a newborn baby. And he said, "I knew all the biblical texts about this. I knew all the philosophical arguments. But none of that brought us any comfort. The only thing that brought this couple comfort during the most difficult experience they'd ever had was their knowledge of who God is. Their knowledge that their God is loving. Their knowledge that their God, even in the worst of times, is always good, that their God is always worthy of worship." Do you believe that? No matter where you are in your life, and we're all at different places at different times, no matter where we are, if we're in the valley or if we're on the mountain, our God today is worthy of praise. Amen? Through worship, this couple was able to get past the past. To get past our own past, we must never stop worshiping God. And when we're stuck in the past, it helps us to remember God's words in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. I love this. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." If your life is at a crossroads this morning, look at that verse again and think about what God is saying to you. Some of us might be living in the wilderness and the wasteland of life. But God speaks to us and he tells us, look and listen, I am trying to do a new thing in your life. But in order to experience it, you got to come to me and you got to worship me. Don't worship your past. Worship me. Don't put your trust in your past. Put it in me. That's what David did to get past his past. Our past can hold us hostage. If you remember nothing else about this morning, remember this. Your past is not alive. You are. The question is, how much life are you willing to give it? God wants you to live today. He wants you to live in the present, and he wants you to think about the future that he wants to give you. Do you need to get past your past this morning? God says he'll help you. His Holy Spirit that dwells in you as a Christian, that Spirit's going to protect you, and it will help move you beyond your past if you let it. God gives us so many tools and so many promises to move on. Acceptance, living in the present, having a faith in God even when we don't know the answers, and worshiping God through it all, that helps us get past our past. That's the lesson we learned this morning from David. And we want to get past our past because we have a future. Oh boy, do we have a future as God's people. And it's good, and it's eternal, and it's perfect. Think about that this week when the hard knocks of life come. You, as a child of God, have a future God is going to give you as long as you remain faithful. And this future is good, and it's eternal, and it's perfect. And we're going to talk about that a little more next week. But this morning, if you need help to get past your past, we're here for you. It all starts with becoming a Christian. If you've never put Jesus Christ on in baptism, to have your sins washed away, to become his child, to have his Spirit dwelling in you, take that step this morning. Don't wait. But if you are a Christian, but you're stuck in the past, and you want the prayers of the church, you want the support of your brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. We're not here to just discuss the things we already know and play church. That's not why we're here. We're here to support and love and encourage each other and help each other, because you know what? We are all on this journey together, and this journey leads home. If you have a need this morning, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.